It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor. We've got another great show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking a lot about open wheel racing today. So if you're an open wheel fan, this is going to be a show for you. We're going to start off with visiting with Brian Carter, the CEO of the World of Outlaws. He's going to join us here in just a little bit. Also, the voice of the All-Star Circuit of Champions, Blake Anderson, will join us as well. Looking forward to talking a little bit about open wheel racing and late model racing. Unfortunately for the World of Outlaws, not having much luck down in Florida with the late model program at Volusia. Rain conditions, just a tough deal to deal with down there, because there's just so much bad weather going on. And we were just informed that the UMP modifieds have been canceled at East Bay today due to rain. So no UMP modifieds running down there today. I believe that we're going to start with the Lucas Oil Late Model Series here a little bit later in the week. So, the World of Outlaw Late Models down at Volusia here in just a few days, I should say. So it's going to be a good show. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really good, actually. And tomorrow, we've got even a better show. Terry Maddox is going to join us. He's the new owner of the Lucas Oil ASES National Sprint Car Tour, as well as ASES, OCRS, United Rebel Sprint Car Series, and now 600 Micro Series. Terry's going to talk about all that and more tomorrow on the show. And one of my favorite people to talk to in all the world, Robert Ballew, will join us tomorrow on the show. So it's going to be a really exciting show. You know, anytime you get Robert Ballew on the show, you just never know what that man's going to say. He's been a good friend of the Racing Boys for a long time. So looking forward to catching up with Robert Ballew. Let's get right to the phones right now and bring on our first guest of the day. Brian Carter, CEO of the World of Outlaws, joins us on the show. Brian, how you doing, my friend?
Man, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, you know. I think Mother Nature could have treated you a little bit better down there last week, huh?
Yeah, you know, we had our hands full. We tried to do a lot, everything we can, and Mother Nature had a different say last week. It was wet. It's been wet for longer than it needs to be in Florida, and it's wet today, too. So yeah. We've got some progress to make on the racetrack, but we've got everything all hands on deck to get that done. So we could have had a better hand, but you play what you got. And I think, you know, we were faced with a situation where we need to keep the guys safe and entertain race fans, and both were going to be kind of questionable. So we decided we would, you know, restack and go a different day.
Yep.
So it was one of those weekends that nobody wins. The fans don't win, the racers don't win, and the promoter doesn't win. It's just try to get out of there and get on down the road.
Yep.
So one of those weekends.
Did you add some dirt to Volusia? Did you guys put some dirt down at the track?
We did. We put some dirt down. We've done that the last two or three years without really telling a whole lot of people, and we did this year too. And it was just a wetter season than we needed it to be to get it down like we have in the past. So miscalculation. Most of the racetrack, you know, 90% was in pretty damn good shape. It's just that 10% that gives you grief. And when you're going over 100 miles an hour and those are in the wrong spots, it makes it challenging for everybody. So
yeah.
We'll have those adjusted. We actually just had a piece of machinery dropped off today, over $1 million piece of equipment dropped off that I'm not sure anything's ever been on a dirt track like this. We're going to recondition the track and like you do a road base, so with a soil conditioner and it's going to be spectacular when everybody comes back in a couple of weeks.
Can you explain this piece of equipment, what it does to the racing surface?
Yeah, it's very similar to what people would have seen prior to doing a road base. So it has a bucket and inner and out, you know, front and back doors, and it has a grinding machine that can be preset the depth and effectively mix that depth of soil into. So we'll take the top and turn it over with the bottom all in one pass. Everybody's seen them. We typically use them on road bases to mix lime and others to stabilize the road base. And we're going to do that on the entire racetrack and mix in the dry dirt on top, take the wet dirt on the bottom, pull it to the top, and And at the end of the day, we're going to have a very smooth and consistent surface, and that process is going to start as soon as it stops raining. So the machineries are already there, and the operators are ready to go, and we're going to see an incredible Blue Speedway in a couple of weeks. It's one of those things you do when you when you own a speedway and run a series and try to race a little bit.
Yeah, so. It sounds like what you're trying to do is bring up that moisture from the bottom and get it out of there and just get it all dried up. That's the object.
Exactly. Right? If anybody wants to Google it, you can Google a soil conditioner, and that's what we're going to do. It's a big tooth. You can set it to dig down as deep as 24 inches and bring that dirt to the top and put the dry dirt underneath it and turn it over until it's dry, and we'll pack it back down with pad foot and shoot and a smooth drum and go at it again. So, not an inexpensive process, but something we're committed to try to get the racetrack better for the racers and for the fans.
You know, I say this all the time, Brian, that it's most important to take care of the fans in the grandstands when you go to a race. It's just like when we were talking about the Chili Bowl. You know, we went late on Saturday night, but, you know, if we wouldn't have worked over that track, the guys were already talking about it, taking a little bit of rubber during those B mains. I would rather take the time and stay late to have a good race, because if you're going to shell out your hard-earned money, right, you want to make sure that you get your money's worth. And a lot of times, some promoters, not all, but some promoters just kind of throw in their hat and just say, this is what you get, this is what you're going to have to race on. But isn't it important to really make sure the fans are satisfied and have a great experience before they leave?
Yeah, the fans first. You know, it's we want to make sure we put on a good, entertaining show, and it's going to be for the race fans. You know, my job is to sell full grandstands. So the promoters that are buying our races are, as we're promoting shows, I want the grandstands full. And you do that by entertaining race fans on a consistent basis and giving them a product that's different than everything else. And that's our commitment to it and to the fans out there. So whether you're, you know, we want the fans in the grandstands having a good time and put on a good showing now that we have control of live TV too. So it's a huge balancing act. And sometimes, you know, I get grief from the racers, I get grief from the fans, but all of it's a balancing act to try to put on the best show you can for as many people as possible and keep doing it. And it's a challenge. It's a big balancing act, and the fans first. And then, everything else, if you keep the fans happy, everything else will follow.
Sometimes it's a thankless job, isn't it?
It can be, and most of the time it is, but I can look around and see everybody having a great time and enjoying themselves and escaping from whatever they're escaping from for that moment in time, and I get a lot of joy out of watching the fans do that. They don't have to come up and say thank you, but for me, just being able to stand back and watch them do that, provides a lot of joy for me too, to watch the fans enjoy themselves.
The main thing is for the fans to walk out with a smile on their face, and I think that's what every promoter's after, right? I mean, you think about the amount of races that you guys run. I think it's 90 plus races this year with the World of Outlaws, NOS Energy, Sprint Cars. That's a challenge in itself when you have that many dates. You want to be as consistent as possible with your track surface as you go. When the World of Outlaws, and you know, I've traveled with the ASCS National Sprint Car Tour for the last 13 years, but with the World of Outlaws, it seems like they are a little more involved in track preparation. Do you guys communicate with the person working the track at each one of these venues that you go to?
Yeah, the good thing is most of our guys that are working on the series have a racing background too, so they've been in the car and they understand it. The main thing is just we have great relationships with the racetracks. We've been to the racetrack, most of our tracks, many times. They know what we expect. We try to communicate clearly with them beforehand, kind of what we need. And everybody knows that when we come to town, we are going to be the biggest crowd probably they're going to see all year. And everybody wants the same thing. That's the piece that's nice. Everybody wants the same thing. We want to put on a good show, entertain some race fans, and enjoy some racing. And so when you're all on the same page like that, it helps. And as long as we're communicating, you're doing the best you can. And we're pretty blessed. We're active where we need to be, but most of these racetracks, you know, they're all pretty fickle. They're all dependent on, you know, they're all different. The clay is different in Florida versus in Pennsylvania versus Texas. So you can't really go in and have one formula to make it work. So you kind of rely on the expertise that each of these racetracks and how they, you know, they know their surface. And if you go to an event, you know, multiple times in a year, or going back year after year, they know what you expect. And it actually becomes easier and easier as you get more familiar with everybody. So
yeah,
it's a constant battle, though. Man, Mother Nature throws her wrench in it. You know, you get to throw some new material in it, some cold weather or some hot humidity and during the summer, and it's just one challenge after the other, but it's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah. Brian, I don't know how you do it, my friend, because your plate is so full. You've got the World of Outlaw NOS Energy sprint cars, the World of Outlaw late models, the super dirt car big block modifieds. You've got dirt car racing, just everything going on. And now you've announced that you're going to have this Extreme Outlaw Midget Series and the Extreme Outlaw Sprint Car Series. How can you juggle and manage all of that? That's got to be a heck of a challenge.
Well, you know, the first thing that's critical is having a good team. So right. I've got a great group of people that have been with me for a long time. And everybody's kind of assigned their tasks, share a mission, and then turn them loose and let them run. And give them guidance when they need it. So that's my job. So I'm not. Beauty of it is I don't have to juggle all that stuff. I have high expectations for all the people that work with me and work for me, and I set them on that task and let them do their job, and that usually works out pretty well. And it is a lot going on. 15 touring series, where you had the Summer Nationals, you had in the two new extremes. I guess that makes 17 now. All the series in the Northeast, Summit Modified Nationals. It's a lot going on, promoting probably just short of 150 shows this year. So
yeah,
it's going to be a wonderful year in 2022, but it's no doubt a handful. So
But
I rely on a really great team that it's taken, you know, almost 19 years for me to put together. So
right.
It's a lot of fun for me to watch them all grow and be successful.
Yeah, when the World of Outlaws started, they were non-wing sprint cars. You decided to go with the Extreme Outlaw sprint car series, the non-wing sprint cars. You're going to have 10 to 15 races. That looks like the pay is pretty good as well. What made you, as the leader of the company, push in that direction and start thinking about non-wing sprint car racing?
Well, we've got a lot of passion for non-wing sprint car racing in the building already. So, and for not only the non-wing sprint cars, but the midgets too. So we've got a lot of passion in the building for it. You know, I think that to some extent, some of that market is underserved related to kind of what's happening in the marketplace now. And then some of the resources that World Racing Group can bring to it in the promotion and the broadcast side. So I think there's some of that's underserved. But candidly, you know, we're adding those shows in to places where we already had shows, or you know, they're running in conjunction with the World of Outlaw late models or the World of Outlaw sprint cars. So we're really not adding any new shows, only a handful really out of the 25 some that we've got for 2022. So we're really wanting to bring an entire package to a racetrack and to the race fans, so that we'll have race control over not only the all of the racing, so not just the World of Outlaws, but the other classes that are running too. So it'll provide really a package in a box, and we can do control the race flow, the competition, the pieces that are happening. So you've got a full package program for the promoter, as opposed to relying on another sanctioned body or racing organization that may or may not be as integrated with the way you run the tower, the way you run fire safety, or the way you run the broadcast. So now we can do, you know, effectively stop to start to finish with the entire program with a class, I think, that will benefit from crossing over some race fans. So having some winged sprint car fans and some non-winged sprint car fans crossing over, hopefully they come to another race or two that year and see something new. So same thing with the stock cars, with the World of Outlaw late models and the non-wing stuff. So I'm hoping that we can cross over some race fans and try to continue the growth for all aspects of the sport.
Is it part of the reason that you're doing this is because when you go in, you know, I promote a race out at Lakeside Speedway once a year, and I have to bring in the support classes, and then I have to bring additional staff from the racetrack in to really run those support programs. Is part of the reason that you're doing this is so you don't have to depend on maybe some track staffing to come in there and help you with some of these other series?
Yeah, you always want to leverage the staff that the track has, but this will allow us a little more control over the competition. Mm-hmm. So we would definitely need the integration of this and cooperation of the staff that are there. So we definitely want them to be a part of the big show. But when you're talking about controlling the racing and the safety and the pieces from the tower, having one clear voice from the tower and race control and the flow of the racing and the integration of the heat races, or if you need to shuffle those, it's a lot easier when you're when you've got control over both of those pieces or all of the classes that night. So really hoping to create some consistency and candidly a better package for the race fans when it comes down to it, like our earlier conversation, creating a better package for the race fans. So maybe we can create a little more efficiency in the operation. Maybe we can create a little more excitement with some resources that come along with the World of Outlaws and have them involved with the support classes too, or the other classes. I'm trying not to use the word sport classes because I'm trying to bring the, again, elevate all of the classes that we're racing.
You're going to
see the greatest show on dirt, and we're going to also see some of the best racing around that's there regionally on a weekly basis. So it's going to be interesting to see how we can get all that to pull together.
Yeah, the first Extreme Outlaw Sprint Car Series race is going to be, I believe, February 14th and 15th at Volusia, if I'm not mistaken. And on Monday, it pays $5,000. On Tuesday, it pays $10,000 to win. What is the standard winning, the amount that the winner's going to receive at some of these races? Is it going to be at that level the entire time, or is it going to be a little bit below that?
It'll be consistent with whatever is happening in the region. So really try not to be too disruptive.
Right.
And so we get our, you know, we want to kind of make sure that we integrate ourselves with the existing program. So there'll be dice purses. There'll be some points funds that are different, and some tow money and some support for the people that are committed to the series. But really trying to integrate in. So the 5 and 10, it's really, that's unique to the time of year. It's a long haul down to Florida, and their sprint cars are already running the next week. So we thought maybe if we add a little bit to that, it would encourage a few more guys to come down and hopefully help both shows,
right?
Not only our show, but the shows that's next week. So by adding the right prize money there, and hoping that we'll bring some more cars down, they can come and see what it's like in Florida in February.
Yeah. With the addition of Casey Schumann a couple of years ago, it's a natural fit for him to kind of oversee these programs as well.
Yeah, he's got a great passion. He did a lot to grow the War Series, and which now integrated with Power Eye. And there's a lot of, you know, again, a lot of passion. You've got Brian Dunlap, who's clearly involved in all of the hobby is the midget stuff that he
right.
does. And the Chili Bowl is a big part of his life. And so it's a good project. When you got that kind of passion and commitment to the sport, it becomes easy to get excited about it, and then the rest of the organization get excited about it. So Brian Walker with the Sprint Car Series, he's obviously with Walkipedia in that piece, and there's just a lot of passion for the sport. I got in and out of those cars a couple times too. I spent plenty of money on midget parts,
right.
So it's something that's going to be kind of a fun project for us and hopefully additive to everything we do.
When was the last time you ran a car there, Brian?
Oh, that would have been 2012. God, it had been 10 years ago.
Has it been that long already?
It's been that long already. So I've got some pressure to go back. I ran in the 25th Chili Bowl. We've been joking about me running in the 40th, but I'm not sure I'm up for that. But, yeah, it's been a long time since I've been in a midget.
You know, it is a young man's game now, right?
It definitely seems to be the case. There's a lot of wonderful young talent. And when you look at the way the midget and the non-wing sprint cars are contributing to the, you know, the sort of pipeline of World of Outlaw sprint car drivers, it's interesting to see the progression. So we want to make sure that we're serving all the market, whether it be here at Millbridge with the Outlaw carts that are running and supporting them with some of our programming, and the non-wing stuff or the midgets, and making sure that the pipeline to whatever form of racing that these guys want to compete in, a career or a lifestyle, is available to them, and that we're contributing along the way.
Is there a formula behind all of this? Do you want to see drivers come in from the micro ranks and go into the Extreme Outlaw Midget Series and then graduate to the Extreme Outlaw Sprint Car Series, which the non-wing cars, and then eventually graduate to the World of Outlaws, the greatest sprint car series on the planet? Is that the formula that you have behind this, is to kind of mentor drivers up through the ranks and get them up to the top level?
Yeah, what I want to do is provide them opportunities. So, you know, I want to provide, you know, we built quite an infrastructure and organization here at World Racing Group. What I want to do is make sure we're leveraging all that to make sure that there's as much opportunity as possible for people to make a living, if you're a racetrack or if you're a parts manufacturer or a chassis manufacturer, or if you're making a living driving a race car. just to provide as much opportunity as possible for everybody involved. And like I said, I think that this section of it was a bit underserved, and candidly has started to contribute to where the World of Outlaws sprint car drivers are coming from, and want to make sure that we've got a nice solid platform across the board to serve again a lifestyle of racing. So I can't tell you how they're all coming in. We have different right. forms. They're coming in and they're going to stock cars. They're coming in and they're going up through the ranks. Sometimes they skip a class. Sometimes they go straight through. We've got a lot of demand for some of these youngsters to come into World of Outlaws racing. And, we're sticking to our guns on the being 16. We did it with Kyle Larson. I think we can wait on a couple of these young guns. They can wait another year, but let them grow inside of something we have. We can start to expose them early on, either through the great fans that come out to the racetrack or through Dirt Vision or what have you. So they can start to build their brand and be continuous through the program. And then hopefully we want them to be, World of Outlaw champions at someday.
Right. Right. And I was going to throw in there, you guys are working in conjunction with Kenny Brown over at PowerEye and USAC. Talk about those relationships there and how those came together and the working relationship with those organizations.
Yeah, again, we tried to come in and not be disruptive with what's happening. There's a strong history, and the World of Outlaws is a legacy in the history of sprint car racing. We want to preserve that and contribute to the positive parts of those pieces. So we've been partnered with Kenny Brown at races for many years at Peavey and some other places where we've used the PowerEye to support the World of Outlaws sprint cars. And he's actually dabbling in, got a new series with the 410 wings there in right. the Midwest to solve a need there that there's demand for the 410s to grow there. And that's good for the World of Outlaws to have a strong, strong regional program. So the strong regional programs are important, and we've tried really hard not to conflict with USAC and their existing programming, and then work with most of our programs will be run with or in conjunction with PowerEye. So yeah. Want to be additive to the whole formula. And Kenny and Kenny has been involved at PowerEye with the Peabody shows and some other places, and obviously we've got Jacksonville and what Kenny Dobson's doing with some midget programming there, and so just trying to work with everybody as best
right.
we can.
Yeah.
It's easy to come in and do something different than that, and we've tried not to do that.
Right. It seems like to me, Brian, that there's been a resurgence of 410 enthusiasm, right? I mean, there was a point where there was a lot of 360 racing around the Midwest, but it seems like the World of Outlaws it's drawing people back in maybe at a greater pace than maybe ever. I'm not sure. You would know this more than I. But it seems like 410 racing is getting as popular as it's ever been. And I know that speaks for a long period of time, but it seems like right now we're seeing a resurgence a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's a great time to be a race fan, particularly a sprint car fan, and cool time to be at the dirt track. So, it's all been sort of an actual ebb and flow. Obviously, for a period of time, Emmett and those guys did an incredible job of growing sprint car racing in the Midwest at a faster pace than the World of Outlaws did, and you can see that pretty clearly. And Emmett's now handed over the reins, and
right.
Matt's got his hands full, so he's got to get that going. And it's just a natural ebb and flow. I think a lot of that it contributes. The 305 program contributes to. Back when I raced with Smiley back in 2004 and 5 in Texas, the 305 program was just getting started. What French did, so sort of letting it naturally evolve, and we've tried and succeeded, in my opinion, again, I'm a little bit biased, but we've kept the rules package, particularly on the motors and the cars, very stable. So we're not doing a lot of rules package changes. The engines have been kept in a box for the last decade. The cars have only been really modified for safety purposes, and so having that consistency and knowing what that is and keeping those cars kind of in a box has contributed to the growth, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So as the 305s grow to take over kind of that weekly affordable racing, if affordable can be said with racing in
right.
any particular same sentence, but the 305 program has filled a niche, and the 410s have remained relatively stable and then grown sort of naturally. And that's a very steady growth is very sustainable. That's a piece that's we've always tried to do is create a sustainable growth and surviving model, which is good now, having come through, that the financial pieces in 2008 and now through COVID and kind of the resurgence back to the racetrack. And we're in a pretty good spot right now to be a dirt track fan and a World of Outlaws fan.
Do you think the World Racing Group will ever expand into 305s? Do you ever see that on the horizon?
You know, I think that the rest of the sprint car world is served pretty well. You know, we've had plenty of opportunity to do that. And I ran 305s. I was involved with the Carolina Sprint Car Series. I ran with the USCS down here with Pete and those guys, and really trying to support those regional programs. I'm going to remain pretty focused on the pieces until this, you know, a little bit of a dabble now with the Extreme Outlaw programs, but really, again, trying to create a whole package for our existing. But 305s, I think, are pretty well served right now. I think there's a place for them in all of the marketplaces, and they're all pretty strong. I don't see any reason for us to need to help or to get involved in that program right now.
Yeah. Well, Brian, we sure appreciate you taking the time to join us. Is there anything that we need to talk about that we haven't touched on with you as far as the World of Outlaws, World Racing Group? I know there's a lot going on out there, so if there's anything that we didn't touch on, I'll give you a platform right now to talk about it.
No, we're excited about 2022. We've got some incredible events. Never seen before prize money. We're going to start racing here in a couple of weeks at Volusia Speedway at Dirt Car Nationals. Everybody, I encourage you to come down and take a look at Florida in February. It's a pretty nice time to be down in Florida.
Yeah, it is.
If you can't come down, take a look on Dirt Vision. We've got a really nice package for you. Take a look at that. But, you know, with all the stepped up money, with what's happening at, you know, you've got obviously what's happening in Knoxville is huge. Eldora stepping up with their program. Adding in the extra nights of racing. Williams Grove is stepping up the program. What Todd is doing out of Jacksonville and Houston. And then now with Brad and Kyle stepping up at Chico, and what's happening in Skagit with Kevin Rudine. And so this is just a real, real resurgence, not only in excitement and energy, but real investment in the sport at these facilities. You know, you see the pieces, what they're doing at Attica. It's just incredible that sort of the whole sport investing together to grow and as one unified group. And that's why this is happening. And it's supported by a group of fans that are unbelievable in my eyes. And just makes me happy to kind of help carry the torch, candidly.
Right.
Carry the torch for everybody.
Yeah.
So 2022 is going to be spectacular. We're going to see a lot of, I know there's been some specific instructions here in North Carolina that some of these guys need to get some more laps, and they're going to do that in World of Outlaw cars. So you're going to see like you saw at the Chili Bowl, you're going to see a lot of familiar NASCAR faces potentially getting in sprint cars or jumping in the dirt cars at the racetrack and playing and getting laps and feeling the car. Yeah. So we're going to see a lot more of that, I think, in 2022. And that's only bodes well for crossing over again, another former race fan, and introducing them again to the sport of dirt track racing. And I'm pretty excited about that.
How important is it for Dirt Cup to go back to 410s? You know, they took a hiatus there for a little bit and ran 360s for several years, but now they're going back to 410s. There's big money on the line. You see how much money Kevin's spending up there on that racetrack and all the capital improvements that he's doing at Skagit. How important was it to get that race back as a 410 race?
Well, you know, I said once before, the World of Outlaws success is dependent upon a very strong regional program. So with what Brad and those guys, Brad and Kyle are doing at Chico, and what's happening with the series out there, the alignment of the rule book, the alignment of the tires, the reinvestment of what's happening in Skagit, all that is going to, in my mind, rebuild that 410 West Coast contingent. And that's going to be really, really great for not only for their West Coast fans, but for the fans when the World of Outlaws come through there. I'm looking forward to seeing a rivalry that's used to be like what I remember growing up in the 90s and the early 2000s, where you ran out there in California and Brenton, the boys handed your hat to you before you left.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of that starting again. And that gets me excited as a sprint car fan to see that resurgence. And candidly, it has to happen at the facility level and the series level. And I think that the response will be the same. The 410, there's enough 410 racing, great 410 racing, good paying 410 racing, that when the racer's making the decision as to how he's going to invest in his team, they're going to invest in some 410 so they can come in and participate in those big events. And that's going to be good, bodes well for the next 3, 4, 5 years for sprint car racing on the West Coast.
Yeah. Lakeside Speedway, one of my favorite tracks that I've raced at for several years. Coming back to Lakeside this year?
That's the plan. So yeah. I know we got a little bit of different with that's going to be I don't have my calendar in front of me. You caught me. That's fine. I do a lot of this stuff. Let Carlton handle all that. But yes, we'll be back at Lakeside. It's going to be good. And with what Kenny has for 410s coming at Lakeside, that's going to be great. And I know that you've got some investment happening there too with Kevin Greven and the guys. And there's some things happening at Lakeside. It's going to be Lake Ozark is going to help kind of grow 410 racing around there. So it's life is good.
Yep. That is October 15th where the World of Outlaws NOS that's, Energy
yep.
drink at Lakeside Speedway. Yep. I've got to ask this question. I don't see I-70 Speedway back on the schedule. Are we not going to I-70 this year?
Not this year. We're going to take a break. We had they did a lot of investment there and working on that. And I think we're going to, it was a great inaugural event. And I'd say that we have potential for going back there, but we're taking a break from I-70 this year.
You do that from time to time, don't you? To kind of just recreate energy and enthusiasm about a certain race. You might take a year off from one racetrack and then go back to it a couple of years later, right? That happens from time to time.
That's right. The marketplace demands that sometimes, and we want to support the race fans the best we can, and sometimes it means that we do that every other year or in a similar fashion. It's not like a place like Williams Grove where you can have seven or eight races or six or seven races a year and have all the support. So I want to make sure we do that. And Lakeside's got a little more investment to do on some things. I know we struggled with a couple of pieces of lights and different things, but they did an incredible job of bringing that speedway up to standards. And hopefully we'll be back there someday for those race fans.
Okay. And we need to add that the makeup, that Friday show at Volusia, that's going to be made up on February 16th, I believe, right, on a Friday night, the Friday night feature?
The Friday night feature is going to be made up. The World of Outlaws late model is going to be made up on the Wednesday. Of late model, the first night of late model World of Outlaws late models at Volusia.
Yeah.
And the 604 program that from Friday night is going to be made up on the Monday night of that same week. If you're a late model fan, you're going to get an incredible week of racing. So you'll have the 604 late models, you'll have the extreme outlaw non-wing sprint cars for the first time, and you'll have the dirt car late model. So that'll be a spectacular night that Monday. Then we bring in the big blocks and have an incredible week for the remainder. So we're taking Super Bowl Sunday off. It's a little something new for us. Decided to do that and kind of give not only race teams a break, but candidly our staff and the facility gets a little tired too by the end of that first week. So we're taking Super Bowl Sunday off. I think you'll see that be pretty consistent going forward. We'll have a sprint car week, take a day of rest, and then come back at it with late model and big block week. It should be pretty good.
Let's hope that my Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. That's all I can say. What about that game on Sunday?
Every game got better. Right. I didn't think it was possible all weekend long. It was absolutely extraordinary. So, the Kansas City Chiefs said they showed why they have been back to that game a couple times now. It was phenomenal. I never would have guessed with 13 seconds left that could happen. I can't imagine the emotional roller coaster that the Bills went through. So it was an extraordinary game, an experience as a football fan, that you should take those in because it's pretty phenomenal.
Just me personally, I took some great satisfaction after watching them celebrate with 13 seconds left in the game. They thought they had that thing bagged. And then our own Patrick Mahomes takes it down the field in 10 seconds and gets that field goal and goes on to win the game. It was just a phenomenal game for us here in Kansas City. Brian, thanks so much again for taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. We always appreciate it. We love what you guys are doing over there with the World of Outlaws. It just seems like everything is rolling in the right direction. You've got all the new stuff going on with the new Extreme Outlaw Midget Series, the Extreme Outlaw Sprint Car Series. You've got everything else that's going on. congratulations to everything that's happening over there at the World Racing Group, and good luck in the future, my friend.
Thank you for spreading the word, and thank you for all you great race fans. We appreciate you. Come and see us whenever you can. If you see me, stop me and say hi.
All right.
Talk to you.
All right, Brian. Thank you again. We appreciate you.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. There you have it, Brian Carter. He is the CEO of the World of Outlaws. Could you imagine having to deal with everything? And not only, I know he delegates a lot of authority to everybody, right? And that happens a lot. And that's what you're supposed to do when you have a big conglomo like what the World Racing Group is all about, right? But managing all those people is still not easy because you got to deal with all the personalities. I know I've had to do it out on the road. Dealing with personalities sometimes can be a real drag because, you know, a lot of people, well, they're not easy to work with sometimes, right? And it just makes it difficult sometimes when you have to deal with, you know, I don't know how many personalities he has to deal with his organization, but I'm sure it's a boatload of them, and it can't be easy. And he's doing a great job with the World of Outlaws. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the voice of the All-Star Circuit of Champions, Blake Anderson, is going to join us next right here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive. Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
As your power steering pump ages, seal leaks may occur, causing the power steering system to lose fluid. Your power steering system may also develop an annoying squeal, and the steering may become more difficult to handle. By using Lucas Power Steering Stop Leak, you will stop the seal leaks, reduce slack in rack and pinion, eliminate the squeals and hard spots in your power steering system. It is guaranteed to stop seal leaks or your money back. Lucas Power Steering Stop Leak. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor. We want to thank everybody for tuning into the show today. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products, made in America, sold to the world. Joining us now on the show is a longtime friend of the Racing Boys. He is the voice of the All-Star Circuit of Champions, Blake Anderson. How you doing, bud?
I am doing good. Trying to stay warm here in the frozen tundra of the Midwest this week.
It is frigid outside today. We were just talking about that. We were outside a little bit earlier, and it's like 18 degrees outside. It's just unbelievable, the weather that we're getting. I'm just not sure if I can deal with it. I might have to head down to Florida to go down there and watch some of your guys' action.
As I say, I know a couple places that we could get some races in for you if you'd like.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I sit back and I look at everything that Tony does, and I just sit here and think about everything, right? The entire picture of everything that he does. And raising the championship money this year, I think it's up like $15,000 to
$80,000.
Up $20,000.
$15,000. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, so $80,000 to win the All-Star Circuit of Champions championship money. That's a boatload right there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy to think. You know, when we got the series in 2015, the first 2 years, it was at $35,000. And the start money is doubled, and we've really made a lot of ground in a lot of places we'd like to make ground on. And obviously there's still some goals we have out there for the series that hopefully we can get to in the next couple of years. But man, this year I feel like this is the biggest jump we've ever made between going to a minimum of 6,000 to win at every show. And I think right on half our shows are more than the minimum purse. And the points fund took a gigantic leap this year. It was some spots were up like 30 some percent. So it's exciting, and I can't wait to get going. It's hard to believe that we're 10 days away from kicking our season off. The Florida events are non-points, as they've been the last couple of years, and that really helps our teams out, especially right now, as you guys know as well as anybody, that it's not easy to get some of our parts. So we'll kick our point season off in April.
Yeah. Blake, let me ask you about the we're seeing a lot of young drivers come into the sport right now, right? I mean, so many talented young drivers. And they all have their eye on 410 racing right now. And we were just talking to Brian Carter, and you know, it seems like that we see a resurgence in 410 racing right now. You know, Emmett had done a really good job with 360 racing there for a long time, but it seems like we're moving in towards that 410 area a little bit more. A lot of guys, you know, we see Aaron Reitzel, Sam Hafertief, a lot of guys that ran with AESCS move on to 410 stuff. Do you see a resurgence in 410 racing right now?
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing our car counts on the rise. Crowds are as good as they've ever been for us. And you look at the West Coast, and I feel like potentially 410's in the best spot on the West Coast in more than a decade, especially with King of the West had some cool stuff this past season. And now Kevin Rudin and Mike Anderson and Peter Murphy out at Skagit putting an emphasis on 410 racing in the Northwest. And right. King of the West NARC now has a speed week up through there, and that's good. Knoxville, I feel like, has got a couple of good additions to their weekly counts. And you look at through the Midwest, you know, Powerize got their 410 deal. Knoxville's up to $5,000 to win a weekly show. Houston's is $4,000. Out in Central PA, Williams Grove, $5,500 and $6,000 to win most of their weekly shows. It's crazy right now, and you've been around in this sport for a while, Scott. I feel like we're kind of back to maybe the early 2000s kind of feel with the 410s.
No, I agree with you 100%. You know, and I sit here and I'm looking at the amount of money that you guys are paid. I think it's up 35%, $345,000. In purse money this year, and we talk about that. And you know, when I sit here and I go, all right, you know, I've been kind of an ASCS homer for the last 13 years, right? I've traveled up and down the road with him. That, you know, those were the people that I traveled with. But I look at the amount of money that you guys pay to win week in and week out, night in and night out. The amount of money, it's just too tempting for some teams to try to go over there and do it. You look at Aaron Reitzel. He went over there. He was a national champion with the National Tour. He went over there and won his championship his rookie year. I mean, that has to give some guys that are doing some 360 racing a glimmer of hope that they could go over there and they can do it with you guys, right?
I got to think so, and I think, Scott, that's part of why we're starting to see some of the non-wing guys maybe switch over. They saw Brian do it in 2015 and 16, and then last year they obviously saw Sunshine come in and win the All-Star Championship with 8 wins and win the Kings Royal, and they're thinking, man, this is the guy that night in and night out with over on the USAC side I was going elbow to elbow with and sometimes beating him and winning a championship, and now he's over on the wing side making all this money.
Yeah.
I think that between that and you're right with Aaron at ASCS coming over here, I got to think it's tempting. The money is so good right now, which it's where it needs to be, if we're all honest, and it probably needs to keep improving a little bit because, as we all know, it's not getting any cheaper to roll a 410 out every night.
Yeah. How important was it for Tyler Courtney to win that championship? You know, he has such a fan base that follows him around the country. He's just one of those drivers that a lot of people magnate to, right? And it was – I think it's kind of important to see somebody like Tyler pick up that championship.
He's got a huge fan base, but he works hard to keep those fans happy. I mean, a lot of times I'll walk through the midway in the afternoon, you know, 3 o'clock, right before the draw's getting ready to open, just to kind of get a grips on who's out there, who I need to talk about that's selling some T-shirts and stuff, and hopefully sell them a couple shirts. And Tyler's out there busting his butt at his T-shirt trailer, signing autographs and setting his T-shirt trailer up, and he's worked hard at it, but he's such a personality, too. It's been fun to see him, but that's a guy that I got to know Tyler when I was living with BC, and Tyler was 16, cleaning the shop, pushing the mop around the shop, just trying to get a ride, just one ride. Yeah. And now he's, you know, one of the best sprint car drivers in the world. It's pretty cool to see that he literally worked his tail off to get where he is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, I want to step back a little bit to the Lucas Oil Chili Bowl Midget Nationals. You're the voice of the infield. What were your thoughts about that race? I want to ask you, do you think that when Brady and who was it that got together coming up off of turn two? Copeland, was it?
I think it was Colby Copeland when they went flipping down the backstretch in there. Like the top three guys right there.
Right. Did you think that Christopher was going to have a run around him and make that pass? And do you think that if he did make that pass right there at that point, that it would have been hard for Tanner to win that race?
Absolutely agree. I think that just that the clean air for the last 6 laps, I think it was, would have been king. And obviously you can always play the those games, but I think it would have been a different winner, and it was neat to see Tanner get it done in a first-time winner. That's always awesome. You think we're, 36 Chili Bowls? We've had 22 winners now. That's
crazy.
Pretty impressive. But that race was just starting to get really good, too. I feel like, oh, man, we're right here. You know, Brady and those guys are right in front of them, and I think Christopher and Tanner were about to put on a heck of a show.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think the biggest shock of the Chili Bowl – for me personally, was the lack of performance that we saw out of Kyle Larson. He starts 7th, he runs 6th. To me personally, I've said this more than once on this show, that I didn't see the speed out of that new Eagle chassis that he had out of the King chassis that he ran before that he won those back-to-back Chili Bowls with. I didn't see the speed in the Paul Silva Eagle chassis combination, and I just think that maybe they got behind the eight ball just a little bit on that chassis. Would you agree with that at all?
I do. And you look out on the West Coast, and I kind of wondered
how Kyle would run, just because the previous year or two, he just kicked butt on the West Coast in that midget stuff in late November, you know, with USAC. Right. And you look at his USAC starts in late November out there. I mean, he missed the A one night. He had to come through the B another night. Just he won one of the nights, but he just wasn't just on fire like we've seen in the past couple of years coming into Chili Bowl. And then his qualifying night, he just said he told me he made too many errors. And I thought, man, it's going to be tough to win the Chili Bowl from seventh. When you look at those heavy hitters, I think those top guys, they're all so close in speed that it's going to be hard to win the Chili Bowl from row three on back, because everyone is pretty much going the same speed anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, another guy that I thought was going to be right up there in the mix of it all, it was Buddy Kofoid, and I just didn't see that. You know, he looked good there at points of the race, but it just didn't seem like he had enough speed to get up there and take on the likes of Christopher and Tanner.
After his qualifying night, I was talking with a couple folks, and I said, I would not be surprised if Buddy Kofoid wins this race.
Right.
And you're right. In the A main, he didn't do kind of what I expected. I really thought that Buddy Kofoid was going to be a contender to win that race, and it really just kind of proved to be the Tanner and Christopher show.
Yeah, for sure. This year with the All-Star Circuit of Champions, you've got 56 dates in 11 different states. Let's go over some of the races. I know that you guys are going to I-70 Speedway, and that's a big deal because I-70 Speedway is not what it once was. You know, I raced out there for 15 years. It's not the racetrack that it once was, but it's still a real giddy-up racetrack, I-70 Speedway.
Yeah, boy, that place turned out beautiful, and they've got Tommy Estes running the place, and Tommy is so good, and I'm really excited to see what that place can become. I was blown away. I mean, just, I don't know if you've been in just the announcer booth, the sound booth, Scott, but it's like a dream for all of us to walk in there and wow. See all the technology that they've got in there. It's pretty cool to kind of nerd out a little bit, but that's going to be a two-day show and 26 grand to win, a nice lead into Knoxville as well, and it's neat to have that kind of event at that kind of venue to lead into a little bit of our Knoxville swing and Knoxville Nationals. And I can't wait for that. That's a cool event. And the Racer Dean Foundation comes out and donates to several area charities to help fight drug addiction, which is very cool.
Yeah. How cool is that? And another racetrack that we're really fond of around here is Lake Ozark Speedway, going back down there again this year.
Yeah, that was another track that was my first visit last year. And the racing was fantastic. That was a neat, neat racetrack. I can't wait to get back there. And as we talked about at the top of the interview, kind of with the growth and evolution of 410 racing throughout the Midwest, I'm excited to see if that helps our car count increase a little bit. Can we get to 35 cars there? I think that'd be a great show. And that's a neat little place that I think that now people are finally starting to realize, man, that place races pretty good when it's done right. And it's a pretty cool little joint.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the All-Star Circuit of Champions, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that formed in 1970, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
And Tony bought it in 15. Tell me what Tony has done for sprint car racing as a whole from the time that he purchased the All-Stars to right now, 2015 to 2022. What do you think Tony's brought to sprint car racing more than – maybe most people?
I think stability. Yeah. I really think that the All-Stars are a major piece that kind of play that middle ground between a guy that can competitively run at a local level, whether it's the Midwest or out in the East Coast or the West Coast, and the world of outlaws. And he's brought stability to the sport. We are a needed stepping stone. It's good, brings good paying races. And I'm not sure if anyone else would have come in and bought it that maybe could have saved it, because Tony was just instant credibility. It was easier for us to go get some partners. But he's brought that stability and continued to raise the game at that middle level. And I think also at the local level, we've got a lot of locals that can come in and win some races with us. And he just does so much for the sport that I'm not sure that a lot of people will ever realize, whether it's, you know, helping some drivers out on safety equipment or helping on purses and cool little things that I don't even know about that he just does behind closed doors, because he is a good person. And it's interesting to think about where would our sport be without a guy like that. I don't know if we'd be in as good of a place, Scott.
Well, I agree with you. Tony's expanding into NHRA. Do you ever think there'd be a day where we'll see Tony driving an NHRA car, top fuel car, or an alcohol car? I know you probably get asked this question a lot, right?
Absolutely. I think we all kind of wonder. I asked him, he was in the shop a couple weeks ago, and I sat down with him a little bit, talked with him, and I kind of said, hey, you know, is that there? And he continues to tell me no. That's been the answer every time I've asked him.
Right.
And part of me kind of wonders, one of these times if I ask it, am I going to get a different answer? So I think that's why I continue to ask him that question.
Right. I think everybody thinks that will happen eventually. Let me ask you, who are you rooting for in the playoffs this year? Was your team eliminated yet? Who's your team?
Yeah. Well, the Patriots, I followed them for a long time, and they're eliminated. I'm not a Chiefs fan, and I know you are, but I thoroughly enjoy watching the Chiefs play because they're so exciting. And Sunday night was a prime example of just how exciting the Chiefs can be. You leave 13 seconds on the clock, and that's just enough for Patrick Mahomes to, you know, pull the cat out of the hat and be a magician. I am really excited to watch the AFC title game, though. I mean, the Bengals are fun to watch with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I don't think we lose. Whoever makes the Super Bowl, I think all four teams left are super exciting between the Rams and the 49ers as well.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of with you. But, you know, me personally, I'm a little nervous about this week because, you know, what they did to us. We lost, I think it was 34-31 to the last time that we played them. And a lot of people don't realize that we actually played them a little bit closer. They act like we just got blown out by the Bengals, right? We played them pretty close in that game, I thought.
I feel like it's just because the Chiefs lost. You know, maybe that's the whole narrative. It's amazing that the Chiefs lost because they are so good. That offense is just absolute dynamite.
Yeah. Blake, your travels up and down the road, you've been doing this. How long have you been with the All-Stars now?
This is my eighth season with the All-Stars. I started just after Tony bought the series.
So your life traveling up and down the road, the life of a gypsy, how's it treating you?
Yeah. It's fun, and it gets exhausting at times. There are times where you just want to be like, man, I just want to be at home this weekend and just take a breather. Yeah. But if I stopped doing it, it's one of those where it's like I'd have FOMO and like, man, I know I should be at this track this weekend with the All-Stars. Why am I not there? So it's kind of, you know how that works out.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Hey, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Parker Price Miller. He's in today getting his first chemo treatment, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
We're certainly all thinking of him, and I know they're hoping to have him in the car, but obviously this battle takes priority, and I think he'll be all right. He's a tough kid, and I talked with him a little bit at the Chili Bowl about it. And, you know, just get this out of the way one day at a time, but I'm excited to see when he comes out on the other side.
Yeah, how was his spirit when you talked to him?
It was like you wouldn't even know he had cancer or anything like that. He was just normal Parker, upbeat and smiling, so you never would have guessed it, which was very encouraging to me because obviously you could understand being a little down, a little pit when you're facing chemo a week away.
Yeah, nobody would look forward to that for sure. All right. Well, Blake, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's always a pleasure talking to you. We're looking forward to seeing you when you get close to Kansas City. Thanks again for taking the time, and we'll see you down the road, my friend.
I appreciate you having me on, Scott.
All right. There you have it, Blake Anderson, the voice of the All-Star Circuit of Champions. He is a good guy, man, a really good guy. I've known him for several years, and he's always a pleasure to hang out with and talk to. He's just about as professional as anybody in the industry at what he does. And it's always good to have people like Blake Anderson in the sport that we love so much. All right. Well, folks, tomorrow we've got another great show lined up for you. Terry Maddox is going to join us. We'll be talking about everything ASCS, what's going on with the national tour. Terry's got a lot on his plate. I've talked about it. I know he can handle it. He's very good at what he does. He's got the Now 600, OCRS, United Rebel Sprint Car Series, ASCS Regions, and the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. But if there was ever a young person that could handle that workload, it's Terry Maddox. And to be honest with you, I think he's going to be very successful. I've said this for years about Terry, right? Terry's the next big deal in our sport. Terry is the next big deal when it comes to being a excellent promoter. You know, he's been very successful at what he does up to this point, and I think now that he's got ASCS, I think that things are going to look even brighter in the future. I just believe that Terry is the real deal, and he's got a lot of things going in his favor. And he's got a great support staff as well. A lot of people that work around him. It's kind of like we were talking with Brian Carter just a little bit ago. You know, you got to delegate authority, and Terry's very good at that. He's very good at delegating authority and overseeing everybody's commitment to the sport that we love so much. And also tomorrow we're going to have Robert Ballou on. Robert Ballou is one of those guys that you just never know what he's going to say when he's on the show. So that's a good show for tomorrow, and we hope that you'll all join us. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products, made in America, sold to the world. For Todd, for Austin, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying we'll see you tomorrow right here at 12 noon Central Time on Mostly Motorsports. Again, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products, made in America, sold to the world. We'll see you tomorrow.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Missouri's must play.
Whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. a beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities, a large pool for relaxation and families, the Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill, great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.